One of the things that parents will often remember is the first word that was spoken by their child. And one of the things that children often remember is the last word spoken by their parents. For years after, they'll say, "Mommy said this to me at the end," or "Daddy said this to me just before he died." Today, I want us to consider Christ's first word and his last word as recorded for us here in Luke's Gospel. The first recorded word as spoken by Christ was as a 12-year-old in the temple in Jerusalem. You remember he had gone up to the city with his parents and probably dozens of others from the local area in which they lived. And the traveling party was heading back up north again, home, and Mary and Joseph assumed that Jesus was in their company, but he had remained behind in the city. And when they eventually found him, he was sitting with the religious teachers. And you remember his words to them, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" That's his first word recorded in Scripture. And then at the end of his life, as recorded in Luke chapter 23, as he hung upon the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." There's a beautiful symmetry in that. The first recorded word, "I must be about my Father's business." And then the last recorded word, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The word about the Father, and then the word to the Father. There is that sense of the life of Christ being lived in the presence of God the Father. But what does this all mean for us? What did Jesus mean when he said to the Father, "Into your hands I commend my spirit"? And I want to just draw three lessons out of this for us all today. First of all, what we have here is the trust that Jesus Christ displayed whenever he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Here is God the Son dying a horrible death. He's only a young man in his early 30s in the prime of life. And all his life he has followed the call of God faithfully and truly, knowing that eventually it would lead to suffering and to death on a cross. Now that day has come, and he is hanging upon the cross. He has been there for hours. But here, right at the end, he is still clearly trusting God, still resting in the purposes of God, still believing that God is there, even though in the circumstances of his death, it must have seemed like he was doing the opposite of the will of God to be suffering so much and to be dying such a death. I wonder, is there someone listening to me today and you're struggling to accept the purposes of God in your life? Struggling to accept that the boundary lines, as the psalmist puts it, have fallen to me in pleasant places, because you say, "My life, clearly it hasn't fallen to me currently in pleasant places." Well, is not Christ here your example? Is he not your leader? Because here he is in communion with God the Father, despite the circumstances of his life. So you and I might likewise be in communion with the Father, though in our lives there may be many things that we really would wish they weren't the way they are. Here is Jesus lifting up his heart to his Father. Here is Jesus crying out with a loud voice to his Father. His enemies would have heard this voice saying, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." He wasn't ashamed to trust in God. He wasn't just whispering it, just in a quiet prayer to God, kept to himself. This was for everyone to hear as he demonstrated his trust in God right to the very end of his life. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." But secondly, having displayed trust in God, he also taught truths through this saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." There's first of all the truth that he is the unique Son of God, the human face of the unique, true, and living God, and the unique relationship with God that he had. Here is the one who came from the Father, who lived in perfect harmony with the Father, and who is now preparing to go to the Father. We live in a world where people try to avoid God. They avoid God by engaging in religious activity, They avoid God by trusting in good deeds. They avoid God by philosophies and philosophizing. They avoid God by looking for out-of-the-body experiences. John chapter 1 says, "No man has seen God, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has made him known." To know God, you must know Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. He is the reconciler. He is the revelation of God the Father, the maker of heaven and of earth. You may know the song by Simon and Garfunkel, "Bridge Over Troubled Water." And in a sense, Jesus Christ is the bridge over troubled water. The human race has a very uneasy relationship with God. The human race feels very guilty in the face of God, very wary of who God is. But Jesus Christ is the bridge over troubled water. Because when he died upon the cross and shed his blood upon the cross, he made peace through that blood shed upon the cross. There is no knowledge of God outside of him. As Jesus himself said in his great prayer, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And then the other truth revealed here by Jesus crying out, "Into your hands I commend my spirit," is that the soul outlives the body. Here's Jesus displaying quite clearly and teaching us quite clearly what the theologians call the immortality of the soul. It's funny, you know, we live in a day and age when the body is everything. Feeding and drinking the body, exercising and resting the body, grooming and pampering the body, medicating and saving the body at all costs very often. But how much care is taken over the soul? It's astonishing, really, that people can pour so much care into their bodies that are destined to return to the dust, and yet they will often totally ignore their souls, which are destined to live forever. It really is astonishing, and sometimes Christians are just as bad. How many of us, can we say, are really working out our salvation in fear and trembling? How many of us, in the words of Deuteronomy 4, "Take heed and keep your soul diligently"? How many of us are keeping our souls diligently? And in these times of pandemic, it's vital. And when we're not able to come together as a church, it's vital that we keep our souls diligently. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The bread you buy in the shops, you see, it just keeps your body ticking over. It just gives you an existence. Life comes from the mouth of God. As Jesus said in John's gospel, "I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." So let me ask you, what are you feeding your soul on today? What's your diet? Are you feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you feeding on something else? Is he the diet of your soul? Is he your daily bread? Or are you living just for the things of this world? Because when Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," he was demonstrating clearly that life beyond the grave, that there is life with God. And Jesus was clearly demonstrating the importance of keeping up a healthy walk with God. So remember, we're thinking about this last word of Christ on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." The last thing that I want to draw out of this is the testimony that Jesus gave, or Jesus bore, to the goodness and faithfulness and love of God. Think of what we do with our most valuable possessions, our children. Let's say a parent is looking for a childminder. They put advertisements maybe online and a number of people apply. They just don't hand their child over to the first childminder that comes along. You go and interview them. You visit their homes. You maybe ask others who have used them before. And if all the vibes are good, then you entrust your child to that person for their care. And isn't that what Jesus is doing here? As he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. It's so humbling that the Savior here is actually quoting from the Old Testament. This is a verse that's in Psalm 31, the famous psalm which says, my times are in your hands. Here's Jesus demonstrating remarkable presence of mind here as he quotes from that psalm in the midst of the excruciating death of the cross and says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Here is Jesus clearly demonstrating to us that you can commend or you can deposit your soul to God, who is good and faithful and loving, no matter what enemies may be against you, no matter what is happening in your life. Could I ask you, have you done that? You've maybe handed your child over to a childminder. You've maybe handed your cash over to a bank for safekeeping. But have you handed your soul over to God for safekeeping? Who is keeping your soul today? Is it saved? What if you were to die suddenly? Lots of people have beliefs. Lots of people believe things about God. But real faith is commitment. Active committing of your soul to God for safekeeping. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. I wonder, can you say today, I know whom I have believed? So right at the end of his life, Jesus is bearing testimony to the goodness and faithfulness and love of God, that the Lord is your keeper, that the Lord is your shade on your right hand, that he shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. There's so much encouragement here for us as believers today. So much encouragement to rest in God. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things through him who gives us strength. And here at the end, Jesus, having lived in the presence of God and having lived in fellowship with God, as it were, is handing his soul over to God for safekeeping. May this be your experience also. Don't leave this to your deathbed. You might never get a deathbed. Do it now. Do it today. And live with that sense of being kept in the keeping power of God. Arthur Pink was a theologian of a former generation. And on this particular verse, he talks about the keeping power of God, the heart's true haven, or the heart's true harbor. If you think of a ship out at sea and it's been caught in a storm, but it sees and it knows there is a harbor nearby and it goes to that harbor and it sails into the harbor and it's safe. Well, Jesus Christ is the safe harbor. He is the true haven of the heart, the true haven of the soul. Whatever storms may be raging, whatever difficulties we may be facing, whatever sins may be tearing us down, turn to Christ. Say to Christ, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. And live with that sense your soul is safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be safe both for this world and also for the world that is to come. May this be your experience today, and to God be all the glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we come before you today, and we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great safe keeper of the soul. We thank you that we can say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Father, we know that here is Jesus Christ speaking and also practicing what he said. That for Jesus there was this integrity between his words and his deeds. And we pray that you would help us, Lord God, to do what Christ did, to live as Christ lived, to love as Christ loved, and Father, to have faith as Christ had trust and faith in you. We thank you for this most intimate relationship of the Father and of the Son, and we thank you that we are brought into that through Christ our Lord. Help us, we pray, Father, to know that in a real way in our lives if we don't already. And if we do, help us to foster that relationship, to grow that relationship, and to keep on in our faith, the true faith delivered to the saints. Hear us as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.